You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
I am excited for this week because we're doing something that we have never done before, and that is what we do on To the Journey, because the only permanence is change.
It is the constant of the universe besides bureaucracy.
Yeah, see, what we're doing today is, and we teased this earlier, and we also asked you earlier on the last podcast and on Facebook and on Twitter to ask us questions, anything that you want to ask us, whether it's Voyager-related, Star Trek-related, or even non-Star Trek-related, you can ask us. And you guys gave us a lot of really great questions.
Did. Yes, we had a great turnout, a lot of excellent questions. We're going to try and get through as many of them as we possibly can. Don't know if we're going to get to them all, but what we're going to do is I've given each question a number, and then I'm going to use a randomized generator to tell us which question to answer, and then we're going to give our answers to your questions. And I just want to thank everybody for participating, because without your help, this would not be a success at all. So thank you for everybody who did participate, and this should be really interesting.
I think it's going to be fun, and as I said before, we got questions from all over the place, from Facebook. Some people emailed them in, some people tweeted us, some people sent Messenger Pigeon. It was great.
I got a couple of owls sent to me, which is great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good, and I hope everybody got back safely.
All right, so let us do the random generator for the first question, please.
All right, drum roll, please. So our first question comes from Greg Mulby, who is a very long-term avid listener. We've heard from him before. He asks, what other shows non-Trek do you enjoy? They could be sci-fi or non-sci-fi. You've mentioned you love X-Files, but is there anything in the last few years that you've enjoyed?
Well, see, that's the thing, is that like probably one of the, like if Greg didn't say... You know, X-Files, the first thing out of my mouth would have been, oh, X-Files, I'm a huge X-Files fan. But, like, you know, we all know that. And
yeah.
I hate to sound cliche, but one of my favorite shows of all time is Firefly. I love Firefly. It goes Star Trek and then Firefly. What, I have it on DVD, I have it on Blu-ray. The movie, I have literally 5 copies of the movie.
Oh, jeez.
Serenity. No joke. And
Can I ask why?
It's amazing. Are you talking about the copies, like the multiple copies?
Yeah, why would you have 5 copies of the same movie?
Okay, well, here's the thing, is that like I bought it on DVD when it first came out.
Okay.
And then it came out on special edition DVD, where it was a collector's edition, and it had extra bonus features and an extra commentary, so got that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then it came out on HD DVD, so I bought that. And then HD DVD failed. So I got it on Blu-ray, but then there was this awesome steel case of Serenity. So I got it again on Blu-ray because I had to have that. And
wow.
I also have a digital version on Vudu.
Oh, wow. Okay, so do you fall for the steel case thing? I know that's kind of a niche thing among collectors.
No, I don't. I only have 2 steel cases. If I made a lot more money, I would probably buy everything in steel case. I love it. I think it's great. I love the aesthetic. I think they usually have a lot more kick-ass covers, but I would double dip like crazy. But if I have it already and it's not like a remaster, like right now, like I have a Blu-ray copy of Goodfellas. And it's one of my favorite films of all time, and they just came out with a remastered version of Goodfellas. So I probably will get that one. But if it was just a steel case, no, I wouldn't do it.
I gotcha. Yeah, it's one of those things where if I have already got. Even if I just have it on good old standard DVD I just really have a hard time paying money again for a movie that I already know and love. Unless it's something really, really close and dear to my heart. Like if they were to re-release Babylon 5, I would be all about that because that's one of my favorite shows of all time. Behind Star Trek is Babylon 5. So your Firefly is my Babylon 5. I love Babylon 5.
You answered Greg Malumbi and he's happy. So
I did. Other shows that I've really enjoyed in the last few years. Just a lot of the same crap everybody watches. South Park, Babylon 5, because I'm a total intellectual.
Well, South Park, I don't think would really be sci-fi.
I'm sorry. No, let me try that again. South Park, Beavis and Butthead, because I'm such an intellectual.
Yeah.
I like smartly written stupidity. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. As far as sci-fi goes, like I watch a lot of sci-fi, but my main love is Star Trek, X-Files, and Firefly. Like I could go on and on and on, but those are my top three. But we should probably keep going.
So moving on to the next question.
This is from Tanya Malaya. And if we pronounce your names wrong, I really apologize because people mispronounce my name all the time. So
mine
if we
too.
Do that, we're trying really hard. So we do apologize.
Yeah, but we're probably going to slaughter some nevertheless. Sorry.
All right. So how did you two meet and whose idea was it to start TTJ? Parentheses. I absolutely love listening to your podcast. The camaraderie between you two is absolutely fantabulous. Oh, thank you.
Oh, why thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. Okay, well, I'll take this one. We met through Trek.fm. What happened was I met Chris through Twitter and then, you know, said, you know, I want to be involved with Trek.fm. And he said, how about Hyper Channel? So I took over Hyper Channel. And then it just got it was too much work to produce it. It was too much work to do video. And so I went to him and said, I want to do my own podcast and I want to do it with Char. And because what happened was that you and I guested on the Ready Room together because you were editor for Trek.fm. Like you were, you would edit and write articles for Trek.fm.
Mm-hmm.
We podcasted together and I can't remember what we talked about on that podcast together, but I remember just having a fantastic time with you. And I said, I want to do a show and I want to do it with Char. And he said, cool. What do you want to do? And then I said, I don't care, whatever it is, as long as it's with Char. And then you and I got together and we talked and we said we both had a love for Voyager. Like, we could do a Next Generation podcast, but at the time, we thought there was too many out there. Sorry, Earl Grey.
Yeah, we've talked about this in past episodes. We don't need to bring it back up.
Then you said, you're like, hey, I also have a friend named Lori. You know, she's a huge Voyager fan too. So like, let's do it. Like, not everybody loves Voyager, but we could have a niche market. So let's do that.
Right. Yeah. We had just, like, Lori and I, we had just started committing to the idea that we were going to do our own Voyager podcast. And then when I found out you were interested in doing a podcast, I just thought, well, why don't the three of us do this together and we can make it great? And it has been. I want to think it has been. It's certainly been fun for us. And Lori was with us for the first 50 episodes, and she and I are still great friends. And then we've been doing this just amongst ourselves ever since, and still going strong, if you ask me.
I think so, too. Next question!
Next one. Michael Schindler. That's a familiar name.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think I vaguely know that guy. If Voyager was off the table, which Trek series would you want to do a podcast on?
Well, oh, man, I knew this was coming.
You know what? I don't know if I would do a weekly dedicated podcast to any of the other shows because I know Voyager more than I know any of the other shows.
Oh, really?
I think it's all or nothing for me. I mean, TNG kind of comes as a closer second, but my passion is not there for the other shows the way it is for Voyager. Voyager is definitely my baby. So there's my answer. How about you?
Well, Voyager made the most impact on me in my formative years, but TNG made the most impact on me when I was a really young child. And I don't know. I mean, like, I love Voyager, but it's not my favorite Star Trek show. But there's certain times that it is. You know, like, I hate that we have to decide what's your favorite Star Trek show. And I was like, well, sometime, like, on a certain time of day, Voyager is. On another certain time of day, it's Next Generation. But if I'm feeling this certain way, it's Deep Space Nine. You know, like, it's a... I hate answering that question. I know, Mike, that's not what you're asking.
Yeah, me too.
But
it's like, which is your favorite kid?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel. But his question is, you know, like if Voyager was off the table, what would you do a podcast on? You know what? I don't know. I feel like there's so many great podcasts out there, especially on our network. It's hard to say that we could do something better. I don't want to punk out and say like we could just do a General Trek podcast, but I don't know. Like if Voyager was off the table, my love is for TNG.
Okay, so that's your answer.
I'd have to say TNG, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Oh boy.
All right. Next up is from our good friend Damian Haywood. And I love this guy.
This question.
Oh my gosh, this question. Shag, marry, kill. You can choose each other's Voyager's... Wait. You can
Voyager
choose
characters.
Each other's Voyager characters' smile emoticons. What the hell does that mean? Oh, wait.
Smiley
okay.
face.
You can. Oh, wait. Okay, so Shag, marry, kill. You can choose each other's Voyager characters.
Okay, you want to go first?
I'm not understanding this question. I'm sorry. You can choose each other's Voyager characters?
Meaning, I'm going to pick the characters. You have to choose.
Okay. I'm slow.
It's all right. Me too sometimes.
You go first.
Okay, so you want me to pick your characters.
Yes,
how,
please.
How about Neelix, Tuvok, and Kes?
Okay, so Neelix, Tuvok, Kes? All right,
so
well,
I take it you'd Shag Kes.
Okay, here's the thing. I would... Shag Kes, because she's gorgeous. I would kill Tuvok because I think it would be an amazing fight.
Okay.
And I would marry Neelix because he would always support me and he would cook me amazing meals.
Fair enough. Good answers. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Okay, so Shag, marry, kill. Janeway, Paris, Kim.
Okay. I think I would shag Janeway, because why the heck not? All the Janeway fans are either rejoicing or screaming at me right now. I would probably marry Tom Paris, because as we saw on the show, he became a very stable and devoted family man. Plus, I like his romantic side.
Okay.
So I think we would be a good couple. And he knows how to have a little bit of fun, and so I know that he would have interesting ideas for date nights, and I wouldn't mind watching a little bit of TV to relax and have some popcorn. I think we'd be very compatible. And then that leaves to kill Harry, and that only seems fitting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Harry, but yeah, I've pretty... the moment I said Kim, I was like, she's going to kill Kim. I thought you would marry Janeway and shag Paris. That's what I really thought was going to happen.
No, Janeway is married to Voyager.
Gotcha. All right.
And is shagging Chakotay.
All right, Damian, you sick bastard. There you go.
Thank you for that question. Next question comes from Twitter, and it was asked by Ian G. He says, Trek has been a big influence in your lives. Any other shows, movies, music, books that have had similar impact? Well, we talked a little bit about TV shows, mm-hmm. but I know you're a big movie guy.
Yes, I am.
So have there been any movies or music or books that have impacted your life?
Yes, a combination, like a book slash movie has had a huge impact on my life, and that is definitely Dune.
Ah, Dune.
I am a big Dune fan. I bought a special edition that I'm not even going to tell you how much it cost. It was my birthday present to me. I love the fantasy element to Dune. I love the religious element to Dune. I love the sci-fi element to Dune. I feel this way, and a lot of other people feel this way, that what J.R.R. Tolkien did for fantasy, Frank Herbert did for science fiction.
Okay, that's a profound statement.
I think it helped shape my how I view fear. It's helped shape how I view honor in certain respects. It's how the importance of family, the importance of survival. And it just has a lot of life lessons that I think can be translated into modern day. And I could go on and on about like some other books that have affected me, but I think Dune, the movie slash, you know, miniseries slash book, I'd say that has affected me on a very deep personal level that you guys probably would not even begin to understand how deeply that's affected me. So that's my answer, Dune. How about you?
Okay, I would say as far as books go, Joe Michael Straczynski's Guide to Script Writing was
nice.
Very big in my earlier years when that was something I really wanted to do. It's a fantastic book for anybody who is interested in screenwriting, so I highly recommend that. Music-wise, a lot of people know this already, but for those who don't, Nine Inch Nails. Trent Reznor is my man.
Nice.
And I've been a listener of Nine Inch Nails since 94, just after the Downward Spiral came out. Like, I saw the display in a music store and thought the cover looked really interesting, and that's why I bought the CD, because I just thought the art was that good. Put it in, and my life was changed forever, and I adore that man. And he's, like, his music has been the soundtrack to my life since I was 13, and that's well more than half of my life, so that's a pretty profound impact.
Do you like his soundtracks that he's done with Fincher?
I love the soundtracks that he's done, yes. Absolutely. I think that's a great area for him to go to, just because I know that he has more to say, and he's got more creativity in him that just spans beyond Nine Inch Nails, especially at this point in his life. He's not an angry man anymore. He's a happy man, and he has a family and a wife, and this is another asset to explore his creativity, and so I'm all for it. Anywhere he wants to go, I'm pretty much there to check it out. I really am. I am a fan, and I will flock to whatever he wants to do. At least take a look. That doesn't mean I like every single thing that Trent Reznor does, but
yeah,
he has pretty good taste. I like most things that he does.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, speaking of, you know, soundtracks, I mean, Fincher is my favorite director.
Yeah.
And his movies have influenced me a lot, but does that mean I like everything that he does? No.
Well, that means you have a brain on you. You're not a completely blind fanboy, which
is
good. Yes.
All right. This question is from Davis Grayson. What is your biggest motivation in your lives? Wow, that's a pretty grand question.
That is a big one.
Davis, you're trying to get existential up in here.
Indeed. Okay, the biggest motivation.
Not to sound corny, but I mean, like, to be straight up honest, I mean, my biggest motivation is to provide for my wife.
Oh, okay.
Every decision that I make, I ask myself, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, is this going to make my wife happy? Is this job going to give me enough money so that I can provide, like, put a roof over her head? Is this job going to give me enough happiness so I don't bring angst and stress home and hurt her, you know, emotionally?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say my biggest motivation is providing for my wife emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
That's a really good answer. That's very sweet. I hope your wife listens to that. I love my husband dearly, but I think I'm going to go even a little more broader than that. I think the one thing that I just try to do to my very best ability every single day is just be a kind person, be a good person, and whatever that entails, whether that means, I don't know, picking up the coffee for the person in line behind me at the coffee shop, or if somebody drops something, point it out and say, hey, you dropped this, that sort of thing, or just even a smile at somebody who looks like they've had a really tough day, that can make all the difference. And so I think it's really important to remember that being a good person can have such a huge impact. We have to be kind to one another at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a motivating thing, but I just try to keep that in the background of my mind all the time. Like, if for whatever reason I'm in traffic or something and I get ticked off because somebody cuts me off, I'm thinking, well, you don't know what's going on in their lives. And maybe they're doing something really stupid and foolish. But on the other hand, you just don't know. I try to keep an open mind and just let things go that do not really matter in the end. And I don't know. That helps put me at peace. And I think maybe my motivation is just to have a good life and be at peace, because there's been times when it's not been at peace.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think that's, you know, like, yeah, absolutely. Like, show kindness, show love.
Yeah, just be nice.
All right. From Kenneth Tripp. Good old Ken Tripp.
He's an associate producer of this show.
So you know he's listening.
That's right.
All right, if Voyager was rebooted in 2015, who would you cast today for the main roles? Oh my gosh, that's hard. I should have thought of that one before.
Yeah.
I should have read that one, yeah.
I actually did try to put some thought into that beforehand, knowing we were going to have this question, and I sadly do not have any good answers. I was going to rely a little more on you, because you have a lot more knowledge about who is who up and coming in Hollywood right now, and maybe this is one we save for a future episode.
Yes, yes. Ken, what we're saying is that we're going to think about this, And we're definitely going to tackle it, and we'll revisit it in a later episode, whether it's an opening topic or a full topic. We will get to it, but not right now.
After a lot of research.
Yes. All right, give me another one. Give me another one.
Okay.
This one is from Mary Chambers, and she asks, how has podcasting changed your interaction with people and the Star Trek community as a whole? I think that's a good question. My personal interaction has not changed with people. I view the Star Trek community as a whole in a much deeper sense. I think that's what I can focus on. So, like, yeah, my interaction has not changed with people, but my view of the Star Trek community is much more tight-knit because we have the Trek.fm community, and that has opened up so many doors to other niche markets of Star Trek fandom, and I just feel the closeness and the love and the admiration, and it's a small community in the sense that we all kind of know each other and talk with each other, but it's a big community because there's millions of us.
Right.
I think, yeah, it has opened my eyes. It's given me community, because you've heard me say this so many times before, is that before social media, I didn't really have a Star Trek community. I didn't have fellow Star Trek fans. And so because of social media, because of Twitter, and because of Trek.fm, I have a connection with so many other people that I wouldn't have had before. And so I view that with great admiration.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I feel like, yeah, it is a big community. I think podcast has changed my interaction in that I just simply know and interact with a lot more people. And because I do a podcast, I'm a little more, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'm a little more in the who's who. People know that we do this podcast. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a consequence of that, more people tweet at me and maybe follow me or what have you than I probably would have without that in my life. So that's probably the impact. However, like you said earlier, if anybody would be to tweet at me a little bit about Star Trek, I'd be all about it. I think, though, the biggest thing for me is volume. And there's just simply not enough hours in the day sometimes to talk with every single person, answer every single message anymore.
Yeah.
It's gotten to be too much, and I'm really trying to filter the amount of social media that I do these days because it's downright oversaturating anymore. And I think I said earlier, I'm trying to stay away from screen time. And so there's just times when I have to disconnect. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm eating dinner, I do not look at my cell phone. I don't care how many text messages you send me, how many Twitter at replies you send me. I am not answering. It can wait. And so that's something. If anything, it's gotten my interaction has had to narrow focus a little bit just because I simply don't have the time if I want to get other things done. And I want to produce things, not talk about other things that are happening. So there's another part of this question from Mary, and she also asked, along with the podcasting, how has that changed our interaction? She asked, how did we get started podcasting? So what got you into this whole mess?
Well, I answered that in a previous question about with Hyperchannel and everything like that. So how about you tell us? Because your story is very different than mine.
Okay, yeah. And some people might know my story, other people might not. I got started podcasting actually back in very late, I think 2010, when I was getting involved. I was just starting to get involved with Trek FM, but I was also listening to a Voyager podcast called The Delta Quadrant that had just started up as well. And it was just a couple of guys talking Voyager episodes. And I thought, hey, I want to get in on this. I really like what they're doing here. And they were doing in-depth analyses of Star Trek Voyager. And so I kind of talked with them for a little bit, sent some messages back and forth, and eventually they invited me to come on as a guest. And a few episodes later, I was a regular panelist on that show. And then a couple years later into it, I decided to focus exclusively on Trek FM because my responsibilities on Trek FM were growing and growing and growing. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to have to leave the show, and anything I do podcast-wise is going to be only on Trek FM. And therefore, here we are.
And also, because of your connection with Delta Quadrant, it hooked me up with Matt Hansen, who was a former host of Delta Quadrant. And I host the Nerd Party with him. And I host To the Journey with you. And it's a small world.
Yeah, we all know each other. Matt and I meet up in Vegas every time that there's a big convention. So that's a lot of fun. He's a great guy. Okay, next question, and this is from Joshua K. Hurdle. He asks, what would you like to see in Star Trek Beyond?
stronger female characters.
Stronger story, period. No copying previous Trek.
Exploration.
More bones.
More bones.
That's what I want to see in Star Trek Beyond.
Less women in underwear.
Yeah, you can keep their clothes on. They can be a lot better with their clothes on, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sound prudish or anything like that, but I mean, I like the Abrams verse. I do. I love Star Trek 09. I was blown away. I thought it was great. I did not like Star Trek Into Darkness. I didn't like it. I can watch it now just because I like to be back in that universe and not be as disappointed as it was when I first saw it because I've kind of accepted it. You know, I feel the same way as a lot of other people. If they, like, we can't say anything new about our criticisms because it's all been said before. I'd like, you know, like, I love Uhura and I like Marcus, but I would like them to not use them in just a sexual way. You know, like, I don't want them to undress in front of the camera just because they want, because so they can show a woman in her underwear for the trailer.
Right. That really was stupid.
I don't want as many leaps forward in technology that's just because the producers are lazy. I know that happens in Trek all the time. Don't write me letters. I understand that. But in a major motion picture, like, it's, you know, like, part of the drama was in Undiscovered Country was trying to get to the conference on time, to get to the peace talks on time. And so they had to, you know, they had to push their warp yield and everything was shaking. And he's like, he's like, we're going to fly her apart. He's like, fly her apart then. You know, that's part of the drama. But now they can just go, oh, wait, transwarp beaming wherever we want in the galaxy. You know, like stuff like that. I just don't cut corners. Let's have real drama. And those are my main things. Exploration, real drama, and less sexualization of female characters.
That sounds good. Yeah, I thought that the 2009 film really had excellent cinematic quality to it. Had a lot more staying power than Into Darkness, because I watch that movie now and I'm really disinterested, whereas I can still watch 2009 and really appreciate it and enjoy it.
Yep.
So this time I want a really good, solid story. I want to know what this crew is really made of. I want to know what these writers are really made of. Mm-hmm. And I know that they were redoing the script up to the very last minute. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm cautiously optimistic, as I always have been with these films, because it's quite a gamble. And so, once again, we're just going to see.
We're just going to see. I have next a cautious year? Optimism.
Okay.
All right. This is from Carl Morris and Karen Dunbar. You guys asked the same question. Which characters would you choose if you were creating a super crew from all eras of Star Trek, and which captain would you put in charge?
Oof.
That would take a really long time. I think this is, maybe we could do this in the same episode that we do the Dreamcast for the Voyager reboot.
Maybe so, yeah. Because that is a big question.
That is a big question, but I think we could answer the last part. Which captain would we put in charge? I would put Picard in charge, easy. How about you?
You would? Oh, it again, it's like picking your favorite kid. I love all of the captains for different reasons, and it would depend entirely on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't want Captain Sisko ferrying diplomats from to and fro. I think he'd be really bored with that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I don't necessarily want Captain Picard flung out to the Delta Quadrant and playing Mr. Diplomat with alien species. So I'm really torn on that. I don't know. I really don't know.
All right. So she Char is abstaining. I'm saying Picard because I think he's the overall, like, I feel like he's a captain who can attack any situation. Like, they all have their strengths, they all have their weaknesses, but I feel like Picard is the most versatile, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so this next one is from Joshua Hurdle again. What's one crazy thing someone has said to you that you were just stunned by? I don't know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that have caused me to be speechless. It's not exactly stuff that I could really share on the air, because usually the things that I'm absolutely stunned by are heinous, like just people who are just being absolutely rude or hateful or bigoted or vulgar. I think those things usually shock me. So I don't really have any crazy stories for you. I don't really have any funny stories. They're all just kind of horrible, and I don't want to talk about them.
I like to keep it positive on TTJ.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I think a lot of the times when I get stunned are when people make assumptions about me that are not true. And so in the past, this has been, oh, you're a goody-goody, conservative, play-by-the-rules square. And actually, the truth is hardly any of that. So I don't know what why people assume that. I don't know if it's the lack of tattoos or...
You're blank.
I don't know why people assume the things that they do about me. I mean, I appreciate it if that comes off as respectable in your mind, but just the fact that you assumed anything about me at all, just don't judge until you actually get to know me. I try not to do that. It's hard not to do that. We all do it as people, mm-hmm. but... Let me open my mouth first, and then you'll really get a... you'll really change your opinion very quickly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
So, our next question comes from Christopher Daisy, and he says, he asks, talk about your favorite teacher, a professor, instructor, mentor, whatever, and what impact they had on you when you were younger, and what advice they gave you that you still use today. Oh, I love this question! This is such a good question. Thank you for putting this one out there. There are two teachers that come to mind. And in fact, there's probably at least a handful of teachers that have had a very profound, good influence on me throughout the years, whether it was high school, college, junior high, you name it. But the two that I'm thinking of probably had the most overall influence on me as a person. And that would have been my eighth grade English teacher, Miss Smith, who inspired me to write at that age. When I was very young and impressionable and just told me, do it. Just don't even question it, do it. And then my ninth grade English teacher, Mrs. Thowen, who really taught me how to write. She helped me self-edit and refine and gave me the skills that I needed to really enhance what I wanted to do at that age. And so I thank them both from the bottom of my heart, and I still connect with my eighth grade English teacher. She's like, we talk every now and then on Facebook. She's out there. She's still teaching. And they're both fantastic, wonderful people. And I admire them greatly for what they did for me. Mm. How about you?
Yeah, I've had a lot of great teachers in my life. I've been very lucky to have people who knew what they were doing and was very passionate about what they were doing. I feel like... A lot of my favorite teachers have impacted my life, but it would take too long to list them. And so I'm just going to have to give a few here. Like, one person that like springs to mind is the chair of the communication department at my alma mater, Olivet Nazarene University. His name is Dr. J. Martinson. Actually, what happened was he was getting his master's at the University of Illinois, where I was born and raised. And he went to my church when I was a wee lad. And... Mm-hmm. For the years that he was getting his master's, he saw me grow up a little bit. He spent time with me. He babysat me. And then all of a sudden, I went to the college that he was chairing at. And we developed a great friendship. He is a very smart man, a very good man. And he taught me deep concepts about identity, about gender, about communicating with people of different faiths and different creeds and views and everything like that, and how important it is to come together as not just Americans but as a species. And and also, he was a guy that I could just joke around with. And like, I went to him, I was having problems with my girlfriend, and so like, I would go to him and say like, what the hell am I supposed to do? And he would listen, and he would sit and talk to me. And not everybody gets that with a college professor. So I've had a lot of great people who have been my mentors and instructors and teachers in high school and elementary school and middle school, but I'd have to give major props to Dr. J. Martinson.
Awesome.
We have Aaron Harvey, who says, what is your credit card number? It is 1801, go yourself.
And of course, we're responding in jest because Aaron is a good friend and he knows that we don't actually mean it.
Yes. God bless Aaron Harvey.
Yeah, thank you for that lovely question, sir.
Next one is from Tasha J. This was from Twitter. Boomers, Niners, Trekkies, Trekkers. What are Voyager fans? I would think Voyagers, right?
Yeah, we are Voyagers.
Voyagers,
that's what I call us.
What would be fans of the show? What would be fans of To the Journey?
Ooh, that's harder.
Yeah, TTJers doesn't sound right.
No, it sounds kind of dumb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Actually, you know what? This would be a good thing for the fans out there, for the TTJers who are not TTJers.
come up a name amongst yourselves.
Yeah, come up with a name. Like, what do you guys think? Like, go to Twitter or email us or go to the Babel conference and start a thread. You know, like, try to say, like, what should we call people who are fans of To the Journey?
That sounds good to me. Yeah, I think it's fantastic to let them decide for themselves.
There you go.
All right, next question comes from Patrick Carlin, and he asks, it's been addressed several times on the show what some of your favorite Voyager episodes are, some of your least favorite episodes, guilty pleasure eps, and so on. But what I'd like to know is, what are some of your favorite episodes of the other Star Trek series?
Oh, geez. Well, I in Deep Space Nine, I absolutely love In the Pale Moonlight. I know it's a cliche, but I think it's riveting Star Trek. If you're a fan of Star Trek, it doesn't really work if you're not a fan of Star Trek. I'm just going with the cliches. I mean, Best of Both Worlds, and it's hard to get better than Best of Both Worlds in The Next Generation. In Enterprise, I think Twilight.
Okay.
I think is great. It's the one where we see an alternate future where they lost and Earth is destroyed and Archer's an old man. And then there's another one where I cannot remember the name of it, but it's their trip meets a third gender and educates him or her, whatever you want to say.
Oh, Cogenitor.
Cogenitor. Thank you, Cogenitor.
That's a great one.
I love that one. Absolutely
love
that one.
That one's so good because there are no easy answers and it leaves you uneasy with no answers.
Exactly. And I love that ending moment when, like, Archer just says, she killed herself, Trip. And he's like, oh my God, this is all my fault. He's like, you're damn right it's your fault. Yeah, yeah. It's just, I'm getting chills right now talking about it.
Yeah, those hard learning experiences that paved the way for this smooth 24th century we appreciate today. That's more of what I wanted to see on Enterprise.
Yeah, and so that's good stuff. I'm not a big TOS fan, so I'd have to say the Tribble episode. So
you don't even know the name? Come on.
Trouble with Tribble. Sorry.
Yes, that's, right, how about I think you? That's kind of a must. I think from TOS, City on the Edge of Forever, that is just good science fiction. And so that is definitely a favorite of mine. TNG, you mentioned Best of Both Worlds, absolutely. My other go-to is Yesterday's Enterprise because Captain Garrett is a badass. She is fantastic, and I want to know so much more about her. Yes, I have read the novel that features Captain Garrett, and I didn't like it that much. For DS9, there's a lot I like of DS9, but a lot of it is arc-based, and so it's hard to just pick one out of the pile. And then for Enterprise, I think actually my favorite episode is Home.
Which one is that? Remind me.
It's in early season 4. And essentially, you know, the crew kind of goes on leave. Captain Archer does some hiking.
Oh, and the rock climbing one where that's a great one.
What is the other captain's name? Captain Hernandez.
Hernandez, yes.
Yeah, Archer goes hiking and camping with Captain Hernandez. And I kind of love the way that they just portray the relationship where we know that we're married to the ships, but hey, when we get together, smoosh me, baby, it's cool.
So much happens on the mountains.
I could make so many horrible jokes, but I'm not going to. And then, of course, Trip and T'Pol and the complication of that relationship. That's it's heartbreaking, and yet I still can't not watch it every time. So those would be my go-tos.
All right, well, we're running out of time, so how about we get into the lightning round?
All right, lightning round. That means we're going to be as snappy as possible to try and get through as many of these questions as we possibly can. So,
Christopher Settle, when one of the other podcasts does Voyager shows, oftentimes Char, Tristan, or both are guest hosts. I rarely hear you talk about other Trek. My question is, do you ever get tired of talking of Voyager? Keep up the awesome podcast. there are certain times where, you know, like, there will be a call, like, someone will say, like, oh, hey, we're doing a special episode on Voyager. You know, and they'll reach out to me and Char, and they go, like, would you be interested? And sometimes we say yes, sometimes we say no. And other times I'll send a message saying, like, you know, it's cool if you want to invite me on if we're not talking Voyager. You know, like, I like other shows, you know, it's cool. I mean, I can't say that I ever get tired of talking Voyager with Char.
Aw.
It's true. I mean, like, but I could talk anything with you, but I never get tired of talking Voyager with Char, but sometimes I do get tired of talking Voyager outside of To the Journey, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, that does make sense. I have not reached a point where I'm tired of talking about Voyager. Sometimes I get tired of hearing my own voice on other podcasts, though. When it's about talking Voyager, because I am just one point of view, and it would be good to have more people in the mix, but the way it is now, that's the way it is. And I'm honored to be asked to come on other shows and spread what knowledge I have in my head, which is fantastic. I mean, that's great. And like you, sometimes I can do the show, sometimes I can't, and then just on occasion I know, okay, I'm not really up to this and I'm going to have to decline.
Yeah.
And so that's how that works.
Wow, we suck at the lightning round. Okay, let's try
we
this
really
again.
We really do. Right. Next question is from Karen Dunbar. Who was your first crush on, as in a singer or actor slash actress?
Catherine Zeta-Jones, hands down. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, okay. Mine was Davy Jones, and I was 6 years old.
All right, Mike Ziegler. Do you guys think that the Star Trek universe is ready for a gay character? Yes.
Yes, absolutely, and it should have happened a long time ago, and it's too bad it never did. Next question!
Yeah, if you want the long answer, listen to the episode before this one.
Right. Next question is from, I hope I do not slaughter your name, Sophia Foranto.
I think you forgot an N in there. Forinato.
Oh, thank you.
Something.
Okay. on a scale from Starfleet uniform to Queen Arachnia's dress, how bold are you when you cosplay if you do cosplay?
I don't cosplay.
Yeah, so. I really don't either. Not very much. I do not have a lot of the costuming know-how, nor do I own a sewing machine. And so if I do dress up a little bit, it's usually a nerdy shirt, and I call that good.
Same here, nerdy shirt. And she also has another question.
Yes.
If you were in the Star Trek universe, what type of clothing would suit you most or would you like to try on? Well, those are two very different questions. She gives some example like the Maquis leather, the D'Vor Hirogen uniforms, Borg armor, Mirror Universe, Living Witness style uniforms, cat suits, you name it. Probably just the Starfleet uniforms or the... The flight uniforms in Drive.
Ooh.
That's
what
I'd say. Yeah.
Sexy. Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty boring. I think I would go with just a good old Starfleet jumpsuit uniform. Nothing wrong with it. It looks fairly comfortable. Definitely more comfortable than a cat suit. So I'd probably go with that. Although Maquis leatherwear looks a lot sexier. And so I think the uniform would suit me, but I'd like to try on the leather pants.
All right, so this next one is from Brian Hayes. Tuvok versus Worf, who wins? I think Tuvok, because Worf is always getting his ass handed to him.
Plus, you have the trope of, if anybody needs to prove that they are stronger and bigger, they're going to kick Worf's ass.
All right, so, and our last question is from Karen Dunbar again. How did you come up with the names Oh the Profanity and the Insane Robin? Char, how about you take this away?
Okay, Oh the Profanity is just the offshoot of Oh the Humanity. And I just thought that Oh the Profanity would be funny. And since I do regularly use profanity, I thought it was fitting.
With me, it's a little bit longer story. I'll try to condense it. The Insane Robin is, growing up, we had tons of robins who loved to fly around our house and live at our house. And we had bird feeders and we put out bird food every single morning. And one day, this one robin started terrorizing our house. I mean, it was half albino. It was covered in its own feces. It was just like its feathers were mussed up and weird. And it would attack our cars because it would see itself in the side mirrors.
Ugh.
And it would start attacking itself because it thought it was another bird. And it would just crap all over the cars.
Of course.
We had to put towels over our side mirrors so that it wouldn't see itself because it was just exploding. It just went to a Greek restaurant. It was just insane.
Man.
All over the cars. And so I told myself if I ever had a production company that I would use this weird looking, crazy, insane looking Robin as my production company's logo. But turns out I didn't want to have my own production company. And so I just thought it would make an interesting Twitter name. My original Twitter name was actually Trekker Tweet, but everyone kept giving me so much crap for saying Trekker instead of Trekkie, I changed it.
Jeez, that old debate.
I know.
It doesn't ever end.
And a lot of people think it's just because I'm a Batman fan. If I don't feel like explaining it, I just say, yeah, Batman.
You know, I always thought that was the reason, but I love this story so much more. That's very cool. Okay. Well, yeah, we've definitely gone over time, and there are more questions that we have not gotten to. And so I really apologize if we did not get to your question, because there was some really good stuff here. But AMAs aren't the only thing that we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week. And so here's a little glimpse of what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
And the Slaver Weapon's the only episode of the original with no Kirk in it.
Nope, not there no yet. Kirk in spoilers. Jeez.
Wait, there's no Kirk in that one? No. I didn't even know. I'm going to have to check that
out. It completely takes place starting off with the shuttlecraft and only the people that are in the shuttle.
The orb.
Well, apparently, and did you find this interesting, Matthew? Apparently, the Navark reports directly to the prophets.
Which is awkward because they don't always show up for meetings, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, you never know what time the meeting is really going to be, right?
That is true. It could have been yesterday, and you might have missed it.
The Ready Room.
Do you think this episode would have been so popular and remain a fan favorite if the Enterprise had been overrun with zebra mussels?
To the journey!
It's so average American. It's like Joe Smith. And no offense to Joe Smith, it's just, I could have tried a little harder. I mean, come on.
Might as well call her Jane Doe. So far, not off to a good start. So far, I'm judging you, Shar.
Give me a moment.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
One of the things that amazes me about the score for Star Trek The Motion Picture is that he only had 50% of the movie available to him when he scored. So he was scoring an awful lot to scene missing.
Women at Warp.
There's always a touchstone, and this was as close to a touchstone as they ever got with Pulaski.
Plus she banged Riker's dad.
Oh, Andy.
I'm sorry, I just think it's so funny.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. You know how to download them. You know where to get them. Just keep right on listening. You know what I'm going to say next about iTunes, and that is, if you haven't written us a review, please, please, please do so. That is the best way to help us out by rising up in the iTunes rankings. iTunes is still the primo source for getting people into podcasts and listening to podcasts, and so exposure there is incredibly important to us. We are also a featured content provider on iTunes. You can go to itunes.com/trekfm, and we have a very pretty page of a directory of our podcasts. So if you haven't looked at that lately, go for it.
Also, you know what? I'm tired of saying please. Just go to iTunes and write us a review.
In the words of Shia LaBeouf, just do it!
Just do it! Yeah, please, please. especially if we answered your question on air and you liked our answer. You know, and you haven't written a review, please take the time, go to iTunes, write us a review. It would mean the world to us.
Right. And if you're not in the U.S. and you leave a review in a non-U.S. iTunes store, let us know so that we can go onto your country's respective store page and look it up, because we otherwise don't do that. And another way that you can support us is on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber. This is a listener-supported network now. This is how we pay the bills. And so without your help, we cannot pay for the storage, the bandwidth, the distribution. For those of you who do support us, thank you so much, especially Aaron Harvey, Jamie Deuce, and Kenneth Tripp. They are associate producers of To the Journey, and we thank them very much for their support of TTJ and Trek FM at large. Well, we've got something lined up for you next week. And what is that, Tristan?
Next week, we're doing something that was a fan suggestion, and it is the top five most out-of-character moments in Star Trek Voyager. It happens a lot, and it happens in every single show, not just Star Trek, where you have a guest writer or the producers just got a little crazy and they had the character do something that you don't think that they would have really done if they truly existed. And so that is what we're going to go. Like, I'm going to give a top five list. You're going to give a top five list. But you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!